Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm mighty glad, Jesus. Oh, yeah, I'm singing glory. Oh Lord, oh, when I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, oh, when I was in trouble, I'm singing glory. Yeah, oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Yes, I'm so glad. I'm singing. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound. Oh, Satan. Jesus, I'm singing. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm. Yeah, Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah. Hey. Oh, bless his holy name. There's a word for us in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Starting at verse 23, Acts chapter 4, verses 23. This text has caught my preaching attention. It starts in verse 23, and it's just good preaching stuff all the way down to verse 37. You remember Peter and John were released from detainment, went back to their people, and they had a prayer meeting. And in that prayer meeting, they asked the Lord to give them boldness to be a witness for the Lord. And the text goes on to talk about all of the marvelous things they did. And we know it was the Holy Ghost because they had voluntary giving. A man by the name of Joseph went out and sold his stuff and brought it to the apostles' feet. And what a marvelous segue into Acts chapter 5. However, it's way too much to preach in one setting. So allow me to just read for you today verse 23 all by itself. That text says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. From that text, I want to start talking from this title, Lessons from a Ministering Church. Lessons from a Ministering Church. If you want to see a church that's known for doing ministry, you would do well to read Acts chapter 4. We don't know what kind of building they assembled themselves in, but we know they did some ministry. We don't know if the preacher was a hooper or a lecturer. We don't know what kind of singing they had, but this church had a reputation for ministry. I want to believe that somebody here would love to be a part of a church that's known for ministry. Is it about three people here that would love for Southern to be known for ministry? A church that's known for ministering to the needs of its members and known for ministering to the needs of its community. What a marvelous brand and reputation. The reason you ought to want it, because if you keep on living, there's going to be some needs that come up in your life. And you're going to want the church to be in the need meeting, or at least need responding ministry. And surely you can see that our church house is located in a community that needs all kinds of ministry. Wouldn't it be marvelous if word on the street and the report at judgment was that Southern is a ministering church? Wouldn't that be grand? If we're serious about that, then I think we ought to look at this ministering church in Acts chapter 4 and see what can they teach us. And I ask you to pray that I would focus on you who come to hear how to be a ministering church. Waste no energy on those who think we have already arrived. Waste no energy on those who define church greatness without ministry in the definition. You know, you can be around for 300 years if you're not doing anything. It is an indictment against you, because the more time God gives you, the more God expects out of you. And then the truth of the matter is, some don't even care about ministry. We're here because we couldn't sleep last night. This is where we come to hang out on Sunday. We're thinking right now about going to get a cup of coffee, some eggs or something after this is over. And it really don't matter. As long as we're finished by about 9:15, we're good. But help me, is my prayer, to focus on those who have ears to hear the word of the Lord, even if it's not all who've gathered in the preaching place. Today, I was intrigued by three R's that seemed to pop up out of the text. I noticed that the preachers were released. I noticed that they reassembled themselves. And I noticed that they reported. Three R's just popped up out the text and said, Baines, would you say something about me on today? And so that's where I'm trying to go. We should be mindful of being released, reassembling, and reporting, being released. Peter and John, you remember, were detained because they were involved with the healing of a man who was born crippled and lived a crippled life for over 40 years. They were the ones who said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The religious leaders of that day detained them and said, by whose authority? What was the procedure? Who gave you permission to do this? We didn't authorize you healing anybody around here. And they arrested the preachers. But that's not the preaching point. The preaching point is they were released. And somebody ought to get excited right now, because the preaching point is, whatever has you detained, I came by to tell you that the Lord can provide a release. And depending upon what you are detained by and detained in, it ought to have influence of you being excited that God can get you out of a mess. Now, this is very exciting for those who are committed to the Lord and have found themselves in bad situations because of your relationship with God. But I don't want to be imbalanced. I want to remind you that some of the stuff we are in has nothing to do with our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Some of us are being detained not because of our sainthood, but because of our sin. Somebody say sin. Yeah. Some who are broke today would have been in a better situation if you would have applied yourself earlier and got ready for this kind of a job market. When the teacher said, go home and do your homework, and you went home and watched TV, that was the wrong move. Somebody ought to help me here. The little money that you did make, if you would have invested it or used it more wisely instead of going out buying consumer items to impress people and pacify your own psychological scars, perhaps you would be at a better situation. Allow me to just pause here and say, you know, we do that. We buy stuff to pacify psychological scars. Some have been told that you're ugly. Some have been told you are of no count. You're not much of anything. And to prove to people how beautiful we are, to prove to people how important we are, we go out and we buy stuff that we really can't afford to buy to impress people that we really don't even care that much about. And at the end of the day, when the credit card statement comes to your address, you may discover that that number at the bottom of the statement has nothing to do with you and the Lord, but it has to do with the sin of unprofitable, indeed poor, stewardship. Mm-hmm. We would like to think that the reason things are so rough and tough in our relationships is because we just love Jesus so much. And that may be the case for some, but too many of us, if we told the whole truth, which means you got to start at the beginning, you can't start in the middle of the story. If you tell the whole truth, the reason nobody trusts you in your family is because you done lied to everybody. You done stole from people. You've done a whole lot of dirt in your life before you got all this Jesus sanctification, churchy stuff in you here today. Tell the whole story. And we discover that some of our detainment is not because of Jesus. It is because of our sin. But thank God, if we find ourselves detained because we're trying to line up with the Lord's concern with evangelism and edification, if we find that the devil is causing extra trouble in our life because we're really trying to be known for our love and our worship, for being a part of community involvement and church excellence, when you find the devil sending extra hellhounds after you, the preacher came by to tell you, be not dismayed. God is in the business of providing release. Isn't that good news? I mean, just think about it. Whatever you can get yourself into, God can get you out of it. Whatever the devil sends in your life, the Lord can protect you, keep you, and bring you back up out of it. Now, I think I ought to put this in your spirit, lest you leave here addicted to a miracle. I want you to know that sometimes God does not work in the miraculous. Sometimes he works in the mundane. Somebody say mundane. This is boring. This is ordinary, everyday stuff. That's sometimes where God is working at, in the mundane, ordinary stuff. He doesn't always work in the miraculous. Sometimes he works in the mundane. I got to get closer because y'all not looking like y'all understand what I'm talking about. Lord, I need some more money. Sometimes he releases you from needing more money by helping you get a job. Yeah. We be wanting the Lord to send us down a check, and the Lord send us a job opening. Why y'all looking at me like that? We want the Lord to send me some more money. And the Lord say, polish your resume. Working in the mundane. Lord, my health is failing. And the Lord say, stop eating so much. Lord, I got a bad report from the doctor. And the Lord say, exercise some more. Lord, I feel a lump. Lord say, go to the doctor. And you want somebody to come anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of deliverance over you instead of go to the doctor.
Right.
Preacher came by to tell you sometimes God does not work in the miraculous. Sometimes he works in the mundane. If you got a legal issue, it might be a good idea to go find a lawyer. If you got some psychological problems going on, something going wrong in your mind, you might want to go talk to a counselor. That sometimes God works in the mundane. And I thought I would raise that because there was really nothing miraculous about Peter and John's release. This is not the story where the angel showed up in the middle of the night, picked the lock, and they left from the people who were chained to them. That's, you're in the wrong story. That's not what we're talking about right here. In this story,
The
religious leaders were more concerned with the political ramifications of holding Peter and John in detainment and counted up the cost and said, we better let them go before we have a riot around here. That was the mundane explanation of how they got released. And I'm telling you that if you're not careful, you will be praying for a miracle and miss God's provision of a mundane release in your life. But at least you won't be blaming on the preacher, because I just told you, sometimes he works in the mundane. I got to keep rolling. Not only were they released, but they reassembled themselves. That's what I'm talking about right now. Reassembling ourselves. Where did Peter and John go when they got out of detainment? The text says they went back to their own people. They reassembled with their own people. They didn't go run and hide. They did not let the shame of detainment keep them down. No, they said, we're going back to the assembly. And oh my, what would happen if we would all come back to the assembly? Are you listening to me? You know, there are some people who have what I call jailhouse faith. You have them, maybe. In my family, we got some jailhouse faith. When some of my cousins get locked up in jail, they the holiest things around. They can't speak a sentence without praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's a scripture in every letter that they send. You would think they were the preacher in the family. But when they get out of jail, you can't get them in the assembly. They got jailhouse faith. Other folk got hospital faith. When they think that they get ready to die, you might as well give them a key. They're going to be here every time the church door open. They think death is around the corner. And so they here on time. And when you go see them in the hospital, they praying. They got the Bible laying up on their chest and got the Bible laying over on the thing. You can't get a word in without them quoting a scripture and praying for you. And they want to have church in the hospital room. But when they get well, they might run through a drive-by the church, but somehow they stop assembling. There are those who, when they didn't have much, went to church. But when the Lord blessed them to make it to quote-unquote middle-classism, and for many it was more consumerism than middle-classism, they said there was no need to reassemble ourselves in the church. Do you see these people? I was trying to figure out what would keep people who've been detained, have experienced being released, what would keep them from reassembling. Is it possible that they were bitter with God? God, why did you let bad things happen to me? After all, the only thing we were doing was preaching and teaching and healing in your name. Why did you let bad things happen to good people? Has this thought ever whispered in your mind? Or maybe they were not bitter with God. Perhaps there are some who are disappointed with people. Because the record is that none of the church folk went to see Peter and John when they were detained. So when the preachers were in jail, them in jail, did nobody go see them when they were in jail? And you know, some of y'all, when trouble come in your life and people don't come and bring you a handkerchief and people don't come and hold your hand, you can become so disappointed in our lack of love and comfort that you say, I ain't going back down there no more. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out why people don't reassemble. I wish I could put them on the couch and talk to them about the power of the assembly. Maybe you can run tell this to them. Tell them that the preacher said that there's power in the fellowship of the saints. When the people of God get together, we may not provide the release. That's oftentimes God's business. But what can we provide? I'll tell you what we can provide. We can provide a cheer for your trophies and a handkerchief for your troubles. Somebody help me up in here. What can the assembly provide? We can provide a community that rejoices with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Do you not know that there are some people who have absolutely nobody to celebrate their victories with? The people in their family would be filled with envy if you went and told them how good the Lord had been to them. But you ought to be able to come to church and find somebody who got enough sense to know that if God has blessed you, I don't have to be envious. It means God is in the neighborhood. And what he's done for others, he can do for me. And then there are others who have nobody to cry with. When trouble come in their life, they have to go get alcohol and drugs because there's nobody who loves them to just sit and listen to their pain and to their tears. But in the fellowship, in the assembly, it ought to be a crowd who weeps with those who weep and rejoices with those who rejoice. In the fellowship, we find a reminder of the word of God. We get new perspective. We get encouragement. We get support. In the fellowship, we're reminded that even if you can't sing, even if you can't preach, even if you're not a deacon, even if you're not an usher, you can invite and you can try to bring somebody to the Bring a Friend Sunday. Who else would have put that on your mind? In the fellowship, we are reminded of our political stewardship, that we have a Christian duty to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and of the many ways we can do that, casting our vote is one of the ways. In the fellowship, we learn not to put our trust in people, but we put our trust in God. In my personal devotion, I was reading 2 Chronicles chapter 25, and it was talking about a brother by the name of Amaziah. And chapter 25, verse 2 says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, right, comma, but not wholeheartedly. The text said, Amaziah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And you would have thought that was the end of the statement. That's why you got to read the context of the text. It's actually a comma. It's not even a semicolon, suggesting two independent ideas. The comma says, but not wholeheartedly. And in this election season, you have to be careful about how much trust and confidence you put in people, because some people can do the right thing, but they don't do it wholeheartedly. But thanks be unto God, God sits high and he works all things out for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. You ought to come by the assembly to refresh your perspective and to get some support on the journey. And perhaps this is most needed for those who do not have support in other places. Church ought to be important to singles as well as unhappily married people. Wow. As well as unhappily married people. There are people who shout on Sunday and cling to every worship service because when they go home, there's nobody there to pray with. There's nobody to go home and talk to about the sermon, about the Bible study. You take the bulletin home and they're asking, why you keep bringing that junk up in here? They get it out the way. The game is on. But church ought to be a place where you can find some support and encouragement. Seniors whose children live 500 and 1,000 miles away ought to find extended family and support in the assembly. Gary Chapman would remind us that the church ought to be a place where you can find people who will speak your love language, be it the language of words, gifts, time, service, or touch. And let me tell you, God got this thing rigged so that you will reap what you have sown. Now, if you want to be self-centered over in the corner somewhere, you can do that. But just understand, when trouble come in your life, go on back over there to your lonely corner. Don't expect the whole church to just come flock to your corner. That's where you were at when other people had to cry. And so now you got a way of finding out that even when you don't know a person, just being present in the assembly can bring some comfort to those who weep. I got to keep moving here. I told you that they experienced release. I talked about reassembling. I got to talk now about reporting. Look again at that text. The text says on their release, that was the first R. Peter and John went back, or they reassembled to their own people. That was the second R. Here's the third R right there. And they reported all that the chief priests and elders had to say to them. They didn't keep it to themselves, but they told others what had happened. Oh, what a church we would be if more people brought back the report. You know, there are many who sit in church Sunday after Sunday who think that they are the only ones who are going through what they're going through. And it is not because you are the only one on this lonely road. It is because nobody else is reporting about the experiences of their life. There's somebody here who's been sexually molested by family members and quote unquote friends of the family, but we can't report about it. Somebody has aborted a child or made some girl abort the child, but we can't report about it. Somebody has to play the part that all is well in my life, even though you are unemployed and been unemployed for months and your house is being foreclosed on, but we got to play the part. We cannot report on it. Somebody here is being victimized by domestic violence. And you know, domestic violence is not always physical violence. It can be sexual violence. It can be psychological violence. It can be verbal violence. But oh, the tragedy. How dysfunctional this hospital is. We talk about the church is a hospital for the sin sick, but is something wrong with this hospital? There's no patients in here. Everybody's a doctor, everybody's a nurse, or everybody just visiting. But nobody have any ailments to report. There's not even wounded healers around here. All of us are doing all right. You preaching to them, Reverend, I am all right. And I'm here to tell you, we're not all right. At best, we are wounded healers, but wounded for sure. And sometimes the wound may be the wound of denial about the other stuff that's going wrong in our life. Sometimes you can believe the hype about yourself. But these preachers came and told it all. I'm sure if they told it all, they had to talk about how they were tempted to doubt, where's God at? Because I'm sure when they healed the crippled man, the last place in the world they thought they would be in jail.
Right, right.
They thought that perhaps they would give a standing ovation. Look at the move of God in this place. Surely the religious leaders would have sung some kind of accolade, provided some sort of an accolade for such an outstanding service. If they told it all, they would have had to talk about disappointment. They could have talked about the pain and all of the bad things, but if they tell the whole report, they got to get to some good news.
Yeah.
They got to tell them, and then the Lord provided release.
Right.
And that's where everybody in the room is right now. Yes, some of you have been through some rough stuff, but then the Lord provided a way for you to be here October the 16th, 2011. Yes, dysfunctional family. Yes, things went wrong on the job. Yes, your money is funny. Yes, friends have left you. Yes, your body is in disarray. Yes, all kinds of bad stuff have happened, but then the Lord provided release and gave you enough sense to reassemble. When you tell the whole story, you got to put some God in that stuff.
Yeah.
And all of us know how to shout when God releases. We ought to know how to shout when God delivers. And so I won't teach you what you already know. Come on, turn left right here and learn how to shout even when God doesn't release or deliver, but simply keeps us.
Yeah.
This is the road less traveled right here. It's easy to hoop out right here. God will provide, God will deliver. But I want you to turn left and understand that sometimes he don't deliver. Sometimes he doesn't release. Sometimes he just keeps us. And so you won't think I'm making this thing up. Listen to our big brother's prayer in John 17, verse 15. Jesus' prayer said, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them or protect them from the evil one. Get me good now. Sometimes you pray your best prayer. Lord, deliver me from this foreclosure. You know how long this house has been in our family. You know that when I took out this line of credit, I had no idea that the economy would change like this.
Yeah.
Not only would it cause personal pain, but it would cause pain to my family's history. You pray a good prayer, and sometimes they still come and take the house. And then others pray, Lord, help my marriage. You know that we went into this thing with the best of intentions. And here we are now in divorce court. We heard that you'll be a lawyer in a courtroom. And yet, the divorce goes through. 20 of what some would say were the best years of your life are gone. And here you are now in your late 50s and early 60s and don't even know how to balance your own checkbook. Others have prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, bless my children. Keep the taste of alcohol out of their mouth. Keep them clean. Keep them sober. Lord, please keep my child out of danger. Before you get up off of your knee, the phone rings. Junior is back in jail again. Did you hear me? And then somebody here has joined me in praying for a sick loved one. Pray your best prayer. And the loved one still died alone, hard death. You might wonder in moments like these, where is God with all of his release and deliverance? The reason I had to turn left at this part of the sermon is because the Lord does not always provide release, does not always provide deliverance according to our timetable. But even when the Lord does not move the way we want him, look at what the Lord can do in your time of trouble. Paul said it, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. You hear me what I'm saying? In other words, the report may be he's keeping me in his love and protection. Sometimes the report is, after all that I've been through, I still have joy. I wish I had some help this morning. Your report may not be how the Lord brought you out. Your report might be that even though trouble is all around, the Lord is keeping me. Ooh, we all. I want to close now with the word of God. Listen to what the Bible says. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 8. I just want to read the word to you. The Bible says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Y'all help me now. Perplexed, but not in despair. Yes, we may be persecuted, but no, we're not abandoned. Yes, we might be struck down, but no, we're not destroyed. Get it good, children. We're always things carrying around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Did you get that? Yes, there's some death, but death has a function to reveal the light. I gotta keep moving. Verse 11 says, For we who are alive are always being given over to the death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Did you hear me? Listen to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. I got to stop here for a minute. You got to put verse 16 with 8 through 12. He said, I got all of these troubles in my life, but I'm not crushed. I'm not in despair. But then verse 16 says, therefore, realizing that pain has a purpose, I'm not going to lose heart. Go on now, though outwardly we are wasting away. Can anybody testify about outwardly wasting away? Can you look at your hair? Can you look at your teeth? Can you rub your back? Can you rub your knees and testify that outwardly I'm wasting away, but inwardly we are renewed day by name? For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Lord have mercy. Yes, I got some trouble in my life, but God is using my trouble to shape and mold my trophy. I wish I had a witness here. Yes, trouble may come, but God is using trouble for my glory. And then the Bible says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Please give me a minute here. There are some things that you're going through that make no sense, and what you gotta do is look past what you see to what you cannot see. You gotta trust the invisible hand. You gotta trust the invisible plan. You gotta trust that God is working all things out for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. He's keeping you. He's keeping you. He's keeping you. That's all, children. That's all, children. I gotta stop right now. Got a time not right here. But I'm wondering, is it anybody here who knows that God sure enough will take care of you? I'm wondering, is it anybody here who knows that you can trust in God
You can trust him. Even when you can't trace him. Even when you don't understand him. You can trust him to work it out. To work it out. To work it out. To work it out. He may not come when you want him. He may not come the way you want him. But trust him. He'll be there. Trust him. He'll be right on time. Trust him. He'll bring the right stuff. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. You can trust him. I said you can trust him. Even when you can't trace him. Don't understand him. Makes no sense. You can trust him. Your pain has a purpose. And if you're here, the Lord is keeping you. If you're here, he's keeping you. Now I know you want release, you want deliverance, but you ought to shout about just being kept, because there's been some folk, they didn't make it as far as you've made it. Some folk have blown their brains out because they couldn't handle what you are handling. And the only reason you're handling it is because of the invisible hand of God. He's keeping you, and he got a plan. He got a plan. He got a plan. If you can just keep trusting him. Trusting him, not the preacher. Trusting him, not the church. Trusting him to work it out for your good. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. He may not come where you want him, but if you wait on him, he'll show up at the right time with the right stuff. Well, bless his name. The door is open. The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, you ought to get in here today. God will save you. God will make you whole. He'll fill that gap in your life. He'll quench that thirst. He'll satisfy that hunger if you just give him a chance. You're already here. If you know you need the Lord in your life, if you know you need to join, be reinstated in the church, come on now. Come on right now. You don't have to wait on anybody else. You can be the first one. Man, woman, boy or girl.